Okay, folks, I think we'll start. People will keep joining, like. So let me welcome you to another PIDE webinar. We are today going to take up retail, the neglected sector. And we'll talk about why and how it is neglected. We've got a good bunch of guests. As usual, we try to trace out people who know the business, work in the business. So we've got Yasin Piracha, Director, Pakistan Retail Business Council, and CEO of Team A Ventures. We've got Asfandiar Farooq, Senior Vice Chairman, Chain Store Association of Pakistan, and MD Urban Brands. Then we've got Wasif Bhatt, Vice Chairman, CAP, and Director of Maria B. Let me also tell you that we have asked CAP, Chain Store Association of Pakistan, to be our co-host because we believe PID has a core value that we must start collaborating across the country. The problem is each of us has a little bit of an association or a chardiwari and we want to not collaborate. So we are really trying hard to collaborate with everybody. So you will see most of our seminars will be collaborations. We did one with IBA. We did one with, I forget now, but we are trying to do it with everyone. So thank you, CAP, for co-hosting this seminar, this webinar. The questions that we want to discuss are here, and I'll tell you why we think this is such a neglected sector. But I wish to add that we also had a debate that this is not a neglected sector, not only a neglected sector, it's also a very primitive sector, and we'll come to that. So let me just tell my guests that I'll direct some questions at you. I'd like you to be as short as possible, as direct as possible, and we shall try and work through all the details we can. You'll have all the time that you like to answer. If you want to intervene anywhere, just tell me where you are. To the audience, I'd say just let the guests, the panelists speak, and then after that we will have take all the questions and comments that the audience wants. At the PID, we have a very, very clear system where we allow everybody to talk because we want the debate to be maximized, not minimized. So you will have a chance to say whatever you like, whenever you like, and we will continue on that. Just that we don't want the discussion to be chaotic from the very beginning. We'll let the speaker speak and then we'll get into a discussion where everybody will have their say. So with that, let me say that we have been a long friend to the retail industry and to domestic commerce. This is a paper that we did in 2006, I think, where we talked about how the retail industry and the domestic commerce was stifled even then. We believe it is still stifled, but at the same time, that industry itself is not vibrant. So that's what we want to talk about. In that study, the points that we raised were very simple. And I'd like Asfandiar to begin by addressing this, that retail is very important, we agree. We thought so, at least, within our study. It's a large employer. It is also the place, but I mean, for example, the economy, let me put it this way. The economy is connected by the price system. This is the famous thought of Friedrich Hayek. Producers produce something, but consumers buy it and signal a demand. So there are signals going back and forth from the producers to the consumers and consumers to the producers. What is being produced? What should be produced? And to our mind, in our study, we mentioned that the link is the retail industry. Our industry was kind of producing blindly because they don't know what the retail signals are not passing through. So that's very important. It makes a value chain currently at that time when I studied, I think it's still so, is truncated without retail. Retail is a very important link in the value chain of the consumer-producer relationship. Now, Asfandiar, how would you react to this? Is the Pakistan retail performing that function or is it operating totally as a separate entity?
Assalamu alaikum, Adeem Saab, thank you for the opportunity. I think we'll just, as you mentioned, let's just dive straight into it. Yeah, I think it's important first to sort of lay the ground in terms of the landscape of the retail sector in Pakistan, if I may. Primarily, I mean, the retail sector or the retail trade in Pakistan is very large, as you know, 18% of the GDP, 16% of the workforce, retail and wholesale combined, but the bulk is retail within that. And actually, when we talk about, I think we in this country in general, we talk about exports quite a lot, but exports are around 9% of the GDP, while retail is double of that. And of course, as you mentioned, retail is the spearhead of the local economy and domestic commerce in Pakistan. And I think retail is, I mean, there are a lot of numbers going around because of the informal economy, but retail is around 7 trillion rupees in terms of the size of the GDP. Of course, that's a very, that's one number from the Pakistan Bureau of Statistics. And then we have other numbers being tossed around $150 billion, $160 billion, and so on. So these are all numbers that people have been talking about as far as retail is concerned. And it's important to talk about what, I mean, retail is, again, the three major segments within retail. There's your grocery and FMCG, your fashion retail, which is huge, and of course, consumer electronics, and then specialty retail, and so on. So, and it's the lifeblood of the domestic economy. And I think we are, in Pakistan, there's also, just to add to that, is there's the organized segment, and these are the unorganized segment within retail. And the organized sector within retail is, when we're talking about brands, chain stores, more organized and professional businesses. And then we have the unorganized segment, which is around more than 90% of the entire retail trade in Pakistan at the moment. And I think the real challenge we have in Pakistan is that the organized segment is very, very small, but it has grown leaps and bounds over the last decade or so. At 20% growth, while the retail was growing at 6-7% per year maximum, we had the organized segment was growing at 20+%. So I think coming back to your point, I just wanted to lay that sort of that down there. But I think retail is performing that function because we are the front face to the consumer, and the price aspect is very important, and that drives the entire chain back to the manufacturing. Even as far as retail in Pakistan is concerned, there's a lot of import-based retail. There's local manufacturing. So you have a combination of both those things, which really, I think, then go through that whole value chain up to the consumer and then back the other way again. Yes, I would agree with that, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Well then, let me have a follow-up with Piracha Saab. Is the domestic industry integrated with the retail chain, or is the model mainly of import? When I go to shops, I see that the model is mainly of imports. Domestic industry seems to play a very little role. My famous example of this is, for example, if I want to buy, let's say, a domestic trouser, underwear, shirt, I find very little supply of these things. Why is that the domestic industry and the retail business are not so integrated? Or am I wrong?
Assalamu alaikum ji. Thank you, Nadeem Saab. So I'll, like Asfandiar said, I'll dive right into the question. Can everybody hear me? I'm having a bit of an issue, I think, with the connection. It might be unstable.
No, it's fine. Can hear you.
We can. Great. Okay. So currently, I believe the domestic industry is integrated with the retail chain, but not as much as it should have been. So we all know Pakistan's strengths as far as productivity is concerned, as far as the local domestic industry is concerned. Unfortunately, it hasn't really changed in the last few decades. As you rightly said, when you walk into a store, you would expect to find a lot more products made in Pakistan rather than being imported. But that has not been the case. So we've not really moved through the value chain. We've not really integrated well through the entire chain of the retail sector. And the number one reason for that is because imports were very easy. It was the easiest approach. You need a pair of trousers, you import it. You need a shirt, you import it. And because, as Fandiya said, because of the differences in the organized and the disorganized sector, it was so simple to import it and to import it at a value much lower than what you paid for it. The costs for bringing it in were not very high. So pretty much an imported product coming in from China would cost you probably less than what you would pay for a product which is made in Pakistan. So there wasn't really much of an incentive to move towards domestic sourcing. That scenario may have changed, but not in a huge way many years ago when actual genuine imported recognized brands started entering Pakistan. Brands like, which probably started off with a brand called Nike and then moved on to other international brands. Now, we represent 9 international brands in Pakistan. Our approach has always been to try and convince the brands to find local sourcing for that. But their answer to that is very simple. They say, how do we enter a country for sourcing which is not welcoming to our products being sold in their own market? You know, so that brings us into a bit of a dilemma. While the disorganized sector is bringing in imported products at literally very, very low or negligible duties, the organized sector is bringing in imported products full duty pay, and we stand by that commitment to do so. So, you know, so these are, this is a bit of a dilemma that we're in, and this can change. It can change, but it will take time. But we need to show a lot of support to these international brands. We need the local market to be integrated. We need the sourcing side to be very well planned, very well executed, which I believe it is not as well planned as it should be. Of course, we're now talking about most of the Western products, most of the other consumer goods, not really the Eastern ware, which of course Pakistan has a very, very strong hold on.
Mm-hmm. But then, Sandhya, please clarify, why is it that the domestic industry and retail chain is not well integrated? Because all economies historically start off with the retail chain playing the role of the retail industry, playing the role of the front end of the domestic production. But you're telling me this is not the case here. And I would like the panel, all of you, to respond. Why is it, very quickly, in very short sentences, what is the reason that you are not integrated in the domestic production? Why are you so import dependent? Is it policy? Is it you? Is it a mindset problem? Is it something else? What is it?
I think, to be honest, when we talk about domestic retail, for example, what are we strong in manufacturing? We're strong on textile side. We're strong on the leather side. We're strong on low value addition products. So I think because our manufacturing base is such, that is why essentially those are the products that are linked with the domestic backend. But then when you're talking about more value addition, value added products, as you mentioned, and as Yasin Saab also mentioned, then we have to go towards the import side because we don't have the supply base and the manufacturing base in Pakistan. At the same time, of course, you've got the SMCG sector, and grocery, which is a huge part of actually modern and retail in Pakistan. It's upwards of 50-60% of actually retail in Pakistan. The biggest retailers in this country, a lot of them are grocery and FMCG related retailers. But when we talk about, and that's of course the food sector as well, which also is closely linked to domestic and imported. But I think when we talk about fashion and more value addition, yes, there is an issue because the manufacturing base is not there, honestly speaking. And imported items are better priced or have been in the recent past and are better in quality than what we can offer locally so far. But that is changing. But that's my...
This is a very interesting first point that comes out, that we are a very strange country. And this is the point that we made in our 2006 paper too. So there are two points that come out here. One is that we are so out of sync with each other that it took us 15 years to reach you. We ourselves are at fault, you're at fault, that we don't even read each other, we don't even talk to each other. So that's one thing. The second thing is that domestic industry can't reach you, or the domestic industry can't compete with the foreign sectors. That's also very interesting. But let me go to the third question now. This is what I wanted to put as a title. Masasab, retail industry is primitive. It is still what I used to see when I was a boy riding my bicycle. I went to a small shop around the corner and found poor inventory and found poor things. The customer experience in Pakistan is terrible. I used to tell the same finance minister, Hafiz Sheikh, when we used to go outside, I was in the planning commission then. We used to go outside and we used to say, hey, we enjoy shopping so much here. Why don't we enjoy shopping in Pakistan? Why is it that walking around Dubai Mall or around the Potomac Mall in Washington is so much more pleasant than shopping in Pakistan. The consumer experience in Pakistan is terrible. The inventory in shops when I go there does not exist. Koi baat karo, banda kehta hai, sir, let me go and ask. And he goes to another shop and finds out, right? There are no showrooms anywhere in Pakistan. There are no showrooms anywhere in Pakistan, right? Second, window shopping is absolutely absent. Search costs are huge. So my friend, please tell me, Vasif sir, do you agree first? And if you agree, why? So, ji bataiye.
Assalamu alaikum, Nadeem sahab. Thank you very much. Number one, Nadeem sahab, I think iske andar, there are a lot of factors. You're correct in a lot of things. And let me put a lot of that to geopolitical issues. Pakistan was on the verge of being ahead in the retail industry, maybe if you say compare it to India. But come September 11th, I think retail depends a lot on your tourism, a lot on the general good feel factor of the country, security, and its related issues. And you would understand more than anyone else that what kind of macroeconomic impacts the war on terror had on Pakistan. And hence, I feel we went back at least a decade or two decades because of this really traumatic period that Pakistan went through. So I agree with your conclusions of what why we haven't been able to get to Dubai. It has 100 million plus people coming there as tourists. And obviously that whole international environment. For example, even if you go to PC Pakistan, the customer service you see there will not be the same as a PC in India, because they're used to that international flavor of people coming in and demanding a higher level of service. So for Pakistan, unfortunately, I think a lot of it has to do with the macro, the things that are out of the control of the retailers. We have tried our best. You must acknowledge that despite these issues, around 20-30 malls have come up in the last few years in which Dolman was a front runner. It told us that we can do this in Pakistan. In terms of so customer experience, I think we're catching on. There are certain global SOPs which we're learning are important. We're learning the curve right now, but I wouldn't pin this all on lack of trying. It's just because we were not able to grow to the stage where we had to. I feel if things go the way they are in Pakistan, just to add a few points to what Yasin Paracha was saying. 5 years ago, every single piece of menswear was imported. I know we in Chain Store Association are now working with people who have been forced in the last 2 years due to the dollar appreciation, to the non-tariff barriers to imports, who are being forced to now produce in Pakistan. We know of some footwear brands which used to just, as Aswand also said, it's very easy to just put in an order in China or Thailand and get it here and sell it. So that model is changing. It's also the policy framework which was not supportive to the retail industry. So that's all leading to your conclusion about the primitive nature of the industry. It's a lot of these factors were exogenous, not necessarily within the hands of the retail sector itself.
I would like to add to that if I can.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, I think retail in Pakistan is primitive. When we look at it from a holistic standpoint, yes, if 90% of our retail trade is unorganized, primitive, or is not scalable, then you're going to come to that conclusion definitely. I mean, in comparison, when you look at other developing and semi-developed countries in South East Asia, in Asia and South Asia, I mean, everybody is 25-30%, 40% more than that in terms of the organized sector. And when I talk about organized sector, I'm talking about bigger brands, you think more, a better customer experience, better product quality, and for shopping malls. We have around, as of the last 10 years, we've had about 35 plus shopping malls come up in this country. And before that, we hardly had two or three of them in Pakistan. So within the last 10 years, really organized retail has really grown. And I would say the brand experience has also improved, and we have a lot of quality also improved. But yes, it's a lot of it is import driven. But I think as Vasif said, this is changing. So I think I would agree, but I would say that we are much better, far along than we were 10 years ago. We just need to make sure that this doesn't go backwards now due to multiple issues. I mean, to keep moving forward and grow faster as we have been growing over the last 10 plus years.
Good. Good.
Nadeem sir, I'd like to add something to this discussion. So customer experience is something that excites me. I love the term. It's something that I wish all of us were looking at. So I just want to give you an example. When a mall opened up in Karachi, Dolmen Mall, which we all know about, 2012, what really changed, in my opinion, was that I was going up the escalators and there was a mother going up the escalator with a young child. He was probably around 7 years old. Going up the escalator, coming onto the main atrium of Dolmen Mall, his first expression was, and he asked his mother, that, Mama, hum Dubai aa gaye. So I think that to me was a clear game changer. A lot of things have happened since 2012. I think a lot of the malls have changed the way they operate. And we have to clearly define the difference between a mall operator and a landlord, right? I mean, we occasionally say, ke hum developer hain, hum landlord hain. But in the retail industry, what we need are mall operators, which we now happily have a few of. But what I think is more important than the malls, and since we are sitting at a time when there's total disruption, things are changing, what we need to talk about, I think, is the customer experience in the online sector, because that's the future. That's what we need. And I think that is where Pakistan needs to make the most progress, because for us, online experience and a brick and mortar experience needs to be seamless. A person going online should have a similar experience as you would when you open the door. And that's what a customer expects. As far as window shopping is concerned, and I think that's where we can really build on the experiences on the online side by digitalizing it. Even in brick and mortar stores and malls, we now need to see a lot of digital windows coming up. We need to see a lot of creative work being done. There's a lot of creativity in Pakistan. But I think, as you said, retail industry ka thoda sa disconnect hai from the rest of the strengths of Pakistan. Because retailers want things to be simple, right? We want it to be simple. If we want to sell a pair of shoes, we want to get it from the easiest source available to us, whether it's import or whether it's local. It doesn't really matter, right? Yes, made in Pakistan goods will hopefully sell a lot more in the stores. But for a retailer, it's the simple supply chain, the simple sourcing that is relevant.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, I suggest that you guys hurry up a little. This business of telling me that malls are started since 2012, when malls are dying in the rest of the world, this seems to be the story of Pakistan. We come to the party too late. When the party is over, we try and come to the party. This is what happened with textile. This is what happened with everything that we've done so far. So I urge you guys not to wait. I also would like to tell you that in 2006, at PID, we were asking for malls. We were asking for more retails. And the paper is there, and there are many other things that we wrote. We're still asking for the construction sector to be deregulated. We've got a lot of stuff on that, and we are still saying, guys, let building happen. If you don't let building happen, you can't have any activity, and retailers know those activities. But let me move on, and let me just ask this question. Sorry. In that paper, 2006, we wrote this. Did some research and found out there are 6 stages of retail development, or maybe now 7. The first stage is small shops where I used to go with my bike and buy my candy and little toys. They were bad, very, or an Arakali, which is very badly, you know, developed, et cetera, et cetera. Then come supermarket, shopping clusters, et cetera. I think we got to the second stage, but not quite, because you don't have supermarkets. You've got shopping clusters like Gulberg Market or F6 supermarket or Jinnah supermarket or something, but you don't really have supermarkets. Then came the department stores. Then came the chains of stores, which is national stores, where you can go to McDonald's or global stores. You can go to McDonald's, or you can go to 7-Eleven everywhere in the world. Convenience stores, discount stores, and then shopping malls. Here, am I right? We are stuck at the second stage. Am I right? We are stuck at the second stage. There are no shopping, very few shopping malls. Only Lahore and Karachi and Islamabad have 1 or 2 each. Karachi has more. Lahore has 2. Islamabad has 1. And then we have no department stores. It took a Carrefour. First of all, do you remember who's minding the store, that comedy show that was set in England in 1960s, and department store Selfridges made in 1860 or 50? We still don't have one. It took a Carrefour to come and make a department store here. Guys, don't you feel ashamed of yourself? Couldn't you have set up one?
If I could comment on this, I think I would disagree, actually. Again, I think it's very important that there are two worlds in Pakistan as far as the retail business is concerned and retail sector is concerned. 90% is at the second stage, perhaps. And I would say 10%, up to 10%, even less than that, is at the fifth or sixth stage, as you mentioned. Because we are in Pakistan, let's also keep in mind where our macroeconomic situation is in terms of purchasing power parity, in terms of the demographics, your middle class or lower middle class, and so on. I mean, this is a very important aspect. And example hum dete US ki, Thailand ki, and a lot of these kind of countries, we have to be very clear that most of their retail, and even Dubai, I mean, most of their retail runs due to tourism. I mean, more than 60-70%. I mean, I'll give you example. In Dubai, all your major malls are open, but you hardly have one or two customers coming in. Similar in Thailand and other places. So we have to remember where we are on the map and what our realities are and how that will drives our retail sector. And of course, there's the other aspect of it, which we'll come to, I'm sure, because that's a burning issue, is that the policy side and the environment for businesses to grow, to professionalize, to invest, that is one major issue, which is, I think we are going backward in terms of, but I'll come to that later, just my input.
Okay, fair enough. Ji, bataiye, anybody else?
Ji, Nadeem Saab, basically, I think actually I would differ from what you said by a bit. And I think we've actually gone back. I mean, there was a time and there were department stores in Pakistan, right? There's stores like big, large stores like Sanaullah, you know, H. Karim Baksh, quite a few more than what I see now. And there were a few others like that. The problem is that in an environment where many businesses are built on not paying taxes. So if you build your feasibility on not paying your GST and your income tax, and hence making it profitable, it's going to be very difficult to convince people to go into large-scale operations. There are so many barriers to entry in the retail sector that if you want to do things 100% by the book, there are a lot of issues on the policy side. And Asfand touched upon it slightly. So I'll just give you an example. Ever since we've started business, so we've only been in business for 15 years, but every year we consult with the authorities to try and manage a structure and infrastructure whereby a lot of other people who are not registered or are not organized will feel convinced to come into and join this sector and pay their taxes. But every year, the taxes have been revised every 6 months, every 3 months, right? We've seen so many different regimes that it's become very difficult to keep track. When we started business back in 2005, and I believe maybe 2008, the GST collection, that general sales tax collection that Pakistan was doing from retail sector, has probably jumped around 4 times. However, the people who contributed 50% of the GST in 2007, 2008, maybe around that time, are the same as the ones who contribute 50% of the GST now. So that's a very clear example that people who are doing business in an organized fashion are actually bringing scalability into this picture. It's the rest of the sector that we expect to join, which will hopefully help develop the retail sector, because otherwise, hum to sara waqt isi sardardi mein pade rehte hain ki agle 2 mahine mein tax kya hoga, kya changes hongi, how do we cope with those changes at our end on the ground. As far as and to take it back on the department store concept, so completely different side to it. Do we actually need these large scale brick and mortar stores to come up now? I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 6 months, how the buying habits are going to change, how the new consumer, you know, the millennials who are now becoming, who are now already decision makers, the Generation Z, who are going to be consumers very soon. How would they want to shop? Have we thought about that? And I think that's where a lot of work needs to come about. There's a different infrastructure. In many cases, there's a different platform for the online business to perform and for the brick and mortar business to perform. That has to be synced in together. And I totally agree with you. All of us retailers need to think in that direction if we get some time off from fighting on the other fronts.
It's the government regulation, the taxes that are really destroying you. Basif sir, any thoughts on this?
Again, I'd like to add something to this. Aap jo hum comparison kar rahe hai, let's say India is a good example. Look, we just have to look next door of how they made this industry. Aapne Carrefour ki example diya hai. And you would have seen for the past 10 to 15 years, the Walmarts and the Carrefours of the world have been trying to enter India. they have extreme, they're very clear about what they want to do. They want to develop their own internal champions, national champions who will take on retail to the next stage. In Pakistan, I feel the model is not very clear. If we wanted what you're saying should have been done here, we should have had a policy that yes, you can come in, please transfer your knowledge, your best practices to X local brand, and they will become the national champion, and so on and so forth. I mean, in Pakistan, hence, obviously we're 50 years behind the rest of the world in terms of retail, in terms of technology that Carrefour and the Walmarts are using. And if you tell them to come into Pakistan with no policy barriers, they will definitely decimate the local competition. And having said that, I still want to give credit to the Al-Fatahs and the Karachi-based, the big retailers. They're putting up a very strong fight. So I think a lot of the issues we're discussing are exogenous to us. These are policy matters, national policy matters, where a country makes a decision whether we're going to go for internal champions or we let the world come in. And I feel my view on that would still be that you should have had more protection, just like Indian government provided their car industry a lot of protection, and hence their engineering sector became very powerful over the years. So this is our view. It's not just us being primitive. It's when a foreign player, a big foreign player comes in, there is no way you can catch up with them immediately, and they will definitely take on the market.
Fair point. But protection is something that we consider to be a dirty word.
Agreed.
Because we've had protection in the car industry, and look what it's done to us. We've had protection in the IPP industry, and look what it's done. Our businessmen have had excessive protection. And we had a webinar 2 days ago on why our businesses don't grow. And one of the things that came out very clearly, and I hope Balit Sehgal is here too, he can again come in. But we had a number of people, and one thing that came out very clearly, government regulation and taxation are a big, big problem, huge problem, and we're with you on that. We write a lot on that. But the second big problem is the culture of the businesses. And that's what I come to now. Are you hungry? Do you guys want to expand? Because we don't get that flavor from you. The SETH culture still prevails. In our industry especially, and even in the retail, it's still the mom and pop store that is working. None of you is listed on the stock market. None of you even want to list on the stock market. Nobody is even big enough to list in the stock market. You have no presence in the international market. Imagine not even having a store anywhere in the world. Carrefour has come all the way here to open up a store, and we don't. And when you tell me our market is not ready, Carrefour thinks our market is ready and you don't think our market is ready, that's not correct, right? It took Carrefour to make a department store. I still don't understand why. Why did we, our people, not make a department store? Will we move beyond mom and pop? Will we get to a corporatized, professionalized retail market? Guys, anyone?
Follow on my last comment. You see, why did Carrefour, again, the question is the same. In India, it has a 200 million plus, maybe even more, middle class, which was ripe for a department store.
Let me interject here. We don't look towards India. I can
okay.
Connect a lot of Indian economists who will tell you don't look towards India, because India is not the best example in this area. India itself is not doing better than ASEAN. So go ahead.
Despite that, we have to look at, let's say, a regional approach to this, right? We can't really say, let's compare ourselves to Dubai. I feel that'll just be a discussion, a theoretical discussion. We have to have something based on the facts. So all we're trying to say is that in terms of departmental stores, and because that's a point you've raised at least three times now, I feel that the technology and the scalability that was required for a country like India, they felt they were not there yet. And the government made sure that there was some kind of a partnership with Walmart. It partnered with the top. So all I'm saying is, just in terms of departmental store, there might be a reason which you can look at. Was that a good decision by us or not? Only time will tell whether India makes its own national champions and we stay behind, because a foreign brand will have much more financial and technical muscle to do that.
If I could just add, just to touch on the departmental store point and then move to your question regarding the hunger and the passion. I think department store, we have to remember that there are a couple of very old players who have grown significantly. There's a very prominent Karachi and now it's also in Punjab, Imtiaz Supermarket. Imtiaz Supermarket, I think, has been around for well over 30, 40 years. And they have, honestly speaking, they have been the real, and you have a few others, Nahid, Al Fatah, and a few others in Punjab as well, who have actually given, as Wasif also mentioned, a tough time and are actually probably larger in terms of revenues than Carrefour, despite, and they have 12 branches, 8,000, 10,000 people, and so on and so forth. So we have departmental stores that, and Chase is also a large chain. So we have those in Pakistan. It's just that maybe they aren't so well known, but they're definitely there. As far as, I mean, this point is concerned, okay, I mean, you touched on a lot of, I guess, points here in No Hunger, but I think the passion for retail, I mean, first, jab seat ki baat karte hain, toh, like you mentioned in your previous session about growing businesses in Pakistan and why they don't grow, a lot of the businesses, successful businesses in Pakistan are seat run or owner run or owner managed. And I think retail is not an exception to that. You have a lot of owners who are managing the retail business and they're very passionate about it. And as far as growing is concerned, I mean, they are, as I mentioned, in the organized sector, because the organized sector can scale, it's professionalized. We have technology, we have systems in place. I mean, our example, we were fortunate enough until 2019, July 2019, when the new budget came and changed everything. In 5 years, we grew three times. You know, so we were able to do that. And there are a lot of retailers out there who were able to grow over the last few years. So I think the passion is there, and it's always a semi system. You can't scale if you don't have a professional setup. Even if an owner is managing or a bunch of owners are managing it, you can't. There are huge examples as discussed with Nishad Group and other groups, as you mentioned in your previous session. As far as the stock market is concerned, I think that's another debate. I think you had in that session as well. And the thing is that if you go sequence wise, retailers. Don't even a lot of over 70% of retailers and 80% of retailers in the organized sector even do not have access or have not taken access or taken financing from formal financing in terms of banks and other means. So that is the first access. I mean, if they're not taking they're not taking credit from banks, listing is another way to access capital. So that's a next step moving forward. So I think we are in terms of retail. Way behind, but there are of course rumblings in terms of people in the future will go into the stock market. But I think when they need to get capital rather than raising debt, and as far as the international market is concerned, I just want to add briefly that we do have luckily a few success stories as far as brands going cross border and going abroad. I mean, we have the likes of Khadi, Junaid Jamshed, and Ideas who have within Pakistan, you know, many stores, 50, 100, 100 plus stores. And in four or five countries in the world, they are there. They are mainly catering to the diaspora, the expats who live there. And because that's our specialty in Pakistan as well. Textile, especially ladies clothing sells a lot. And that's what's where we've been able to step out of Pakistan and sell those particular products in Pakistan and being doing reasonably well. So I think there are a few success stories. It's just that there are not enough of them, which is what the core issue is, I think.
Okay, but you see the problem is. Sorry, go ahead.
Ji, sir, actually, we were talking about which markets to compare ourselves to. So I often mention Indonesia as a clear example. Similar, they had similar issues like us, similar dynamics as Karachi and as Pakistan as a whole. But look at what they've done. I mean, the progress they've made in the last perhaps 17 years has been absolutely amazing. And they've had their fair fill of issues and challenges. I think what we truly need in Pakistan for things to change is consistency. That's something that we're not getting. It's not about the taxes being high. It's not about there being barriers to entry. It's about there being a consistent approach. So once a businessman, an entrepreneur knows that if I have a certain infrastructure to work within, and that is not going to change for the next 5 years, I'll be a lot more comfortable focusing on our vision, on our plans, on our objectives, and so on and so forth. As far as the safe culture is concerned, I think you're absolutely right. The typical meaning of the safe culture, yes, I think that perhaps that has to change where everything is decided from one side, but I will say here very, I think, and I'm being very fair here, that a lot of the brands that you now see on the streets in Pakistan are not actually been run on that safe culture anymore. There's a lot of professionalism that has happened. Yes, in a business where you're constantly cooking your books, it has to be done by the owner. Nobody else is going to come in and cook the books for you. Hence, that's one of the barriers to entry, barriers to growth, where there are there. But in the organized sector, I think it's fairly well professionally managed. The potential is there. There's no doubt about it. And to go international purely for the sake of going international, yes, we don't see any brands there at all. But I don't think we've yet potentialized on the opportunity that's available in Pakistan. I mean, the largest retail brand in the country overall, and I won't take any names because I'm not sure what they declared, is probably around $400 million. That's the largest retail brand in the country. The largest high street brand, basically, if you look at fashion goods, is probably around $140 million in a market of 220 million people. I think the largest high street brand of $140, $150 million is really not where we should be. There's a long, long way to go.
Fair point. And this is the puzzle that we economists have. Our industry is very small. Our retail is very small. Our business is very small. How can a country grow? How can we reach Indonesia's level if every one of you is a pygmy? The second question that you raise is that organized, unorganized sector. Yes, I appreciate that. But let me just put it to you this way. There are benefits to growth. And there are benefits to hiding your books. I think the two, there is a balance somewhere. You find out somewhere that if you grow fast like McDonald's, you can pay your taxes and be organized, et cetera, and not necessarily hide your books. You will be better off. So if you have a scalable business model, the way I look at retail is a business model. If you have a scalable business model, you will scale it. You will go overseas. A Carrefour is a scalable business model. So is Choithram in India, which is expanded to Africa, right? So, I mean, these things are important to bear in mind. India has a large number of multinationals. We don't. So that's one question I want you to bear in mind. But second, another question that I want you to also face is, you make a big point, you're a large employer. Yes, and we said that too. We agree. But employment with you is not good, my friends. Nobody really wants a retail employment. It's very informal employment. Again, it's mom and pop culture. It's a growth, no growth culture. And you have an incentive to remain small, and your employees are poorly treated. They work long hours, they have no benefits, and they have no job security. Do you disagree? Agree?
Nadeem Saab, 3 months, right? Two months we've been in lockdown, and I don't think any of us, at least any of the members of these two associations, Chain Store Association and Pakistan Retail Business Council, I don't think a lot of them have even fired a single person. So things have changed. Yes, it used to be before this whole mall culture started, people would typically work very long hours. A lot of things have changed. A lot of companies, retailers have organized themselves better into being better employers. We do follow shifts. So I think that culture shift is changing. However, since the largest retail sector is not the sector you see inside malls, you will definitely see that kind of a trend happening where the standards are not that good and the hours are very long. There's a lot of training happening on the HR side. A lot of development has happened. But I think the mindset of retail not being a chosen profession is very simple. So everywhere in the West, every student who comes out of college has had some experience in retail at some point in their life, right? Either as a summer job, working in a place like McDonald's, or working in a corner vegetable store, or working in any kind of a high street brand. They've already had the flavor for retail. So when they go into college, when they get out of college, they're already aware if they are meant for the retail industry or not. In Pakistan, I'll give you an example. One of the first girls we hired to look after a brand we used to have, we still have, called Accessorize. She came out of a university in Pakistan, and she had formed a retail association there in the college. We offered her a job, and she said, "I have one condition." And I said, "What is that?" And she said, "I can't work in a store." And I said, "Sorry, but you're joining the retail sector. How do you expect to do that?" And she said, "Because I'm sorry, my parents won't allow me to do that. Because they say that, we don't want our friends going into a shop and saying that beti ko itna padha liya, masters kara liya, aur ek dukandar bana diya." So, that's the kind of culture shift, I think, that we need to look at, a change in mindset that we're looking at. Hopefully it will change. Perhaps we don't need it to change anymore. Maybe we'll be completely digitized. Maybe we'll be going on the online sector very soon. So that's my take on it.
Fair enough. QG, anybody else?
Ji, Nadeem saab, isme, just to point out ki, you're absolutely right in terms of your general review of the sector. Once again, because that's 90% informal and a mom and pop shop se bhi, you know, wo jaake uski culture jo hai, wo ja set hota hai. But again, the brands and the associations and the people we represent, I think we are the ones at the forefront. We are the ones trying to change this entire culture. Main aapko ek badi achi example deta hun. One of our members also has a very big spinning and weaving setup at the back end. He informed us that, guys, do you realize our average salesman employed by us earns twice as much as the operator on our huge textile mill factory? So that guy earns a bare minimum of 18,000. The minimum guy that we now put in our retail stores at the front is almost double that. And once you add their benefits, etc. So I feel whereas people did not have these options maybe 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago, the retail sector, which has grown by 20-25% every single year, except maybe the last 1.5-2 years since the taxation hit 17%, we were at the forefront of giving the opportunities to people to grow up the corporate ladder. If I speak about my company, 5 years ago, I couldn't think of hiring any student from LUMS or any high-level CFO. But within 5 years, I have been able to do all those things. We're all able to hire people from good universities. There are people in our management roles, as Yasin said, not necessarily on the shop floor, but within our factories, our organizations. The level of HR that now we're hiring, a lot of them are coming in from MNCs, by the way. So they have their first few years in the MNCs and then they're joining us. So it's a growing culture where we're at the forefront and we've got that hunger to grow. It's just, let's see where these policy issues that we'll discuss, I think, are a big hindrance and they're really holding us back for the past, let's say, 2 years.
Sandhya Sab, are you as good an employer as Carrefour?
As Carrefour?
Do people leave you to go to Carrefour?
Well, I would say that if, as far as I don't want to take names, but there are people within the retail sector who have obviously during this crisis time made immense cuts in terms of, and that's also part of the situation. But I think we provide, for example, health insurance to our sales staff. We provide proper notice periods. You don't just fire them on the spot like perhaps some industrial workers and so on. So there are a lot of things in place within the organized sector. But at the same time, I do agree completely that mostly in the retail sector, more than a lot of other sectors, you have an informal setup. Because as you mentioned, even within the manufacturing setup in Pakistan, 90% of it is not informal or unorganized. Maybe 60% is organized and 40-30% maybe unorganized. In retail, we have this big dilemma where a lot of the vast majority of it is informal. Obviously, if business is going to be informal, the employment will be informal. So there is this big challenge, but I think the vision and the consistent policies are needed to change this sort of paradigm within retail. And of course, the digital shift as well is going to play a big role.
Fair point. Achha ji, ye bataiye, I mean, this is very important also. You have to be backed up by wholesale and distribution. Are these markets competitive? Are they efficient or are they cartelized? Does the wholesale market, we will do something with them too at a later stage. But I want to get your view on the wholesale market. How does it serve you?
You're could you say a little bit more on this, Nadeem saab? How would you describe a wholesale and...
Okay, fair enough. Ultimately, there are wholesalers who are running all these things like chemicals. Sorry, hello? Ultimately, there are wholesalers who are running these distribution setups. Like, for example, let's say a pharmaceutical company will have a wholesaler, a textile distribution will have some kind of a wholesaler. Are these markets, the way I understand it, there will be wholesale distributors who will send stuff to the retailers. Do you have a good wholesale market here? People who pick up the product and send it to you? Or do you have to go producer by producer to get the stuff? But mainly, you people seem to go to imports because imports are easier. So it seems to me that the wholesale market is not working very well. You don't have a distribution system in Pakistan that will reach out to you and provide you with goods. That's a good reason I asked this question.
So, sir, one thing. Import is not, I think, the majority channel for sourcing for most of the local brands. Of course, a lot of them are producing their products themselves. So wholesale and distribution, I would say, as far as consumer goods are concerned, as far as the multinational business is concerned, seems to be, and I don't have much experience there, but it seems to be reasonably well organized. But I think there needs to be a lot of change and development in the supply chain side, on the logistics side. Okay. Access to these goods, the ease of ordering these goods. I think that's what is very important. And that's why I asked you that question about how would you describe wholesale? Because I was wondering if you're referring more to the supply chain side or more to the, let's say, to the stockist side. So on that front, I think there's a lot of change needed on the logistics and supply chain angle. As far as the high street retail is concerned, I would say it's very difficult to find sources. It's a tough job, and which is very surprising. And I will speak regarding the textile sector. It's very surprising because us being an export based economy and being specialists in products like denim and t-shirts and things like that, a local retailer will find it difficult. I'm not saying impossible, but find it difficult to arrange supply according to their wishes from a well-established textile house. It will be tough to do so, unless you're of a very large scale. So if I was to start a small apparel store today, I will find a developed textile supply. So I think that's where the change is needed. That's where on the sourcing side, on the supply chain side, on logistics side, I think that's where a lot of help is needed.
Yes, Vandiyar, sir.
Actually, to be honest with you, I personally don't have much experience on the wholesale and distribution side. We primarily retail and we have the manufacturing managed ourselves. So in that sense, it doesn't so much apply to us. And I think... But I think this is for the FMCG sector, wholesale distribution is a big part of it, as well as for a lot of other bigger, larger retailers. And I think perhaps Wasif can comment better as well.
Jay,
I think,
Nadeem sir, actually, if I were to summarize this, the wholesale mostly applies to the women's wear sector of Pakistan, the textile sector, local products. None of the imported products you can say have a wholesale distribution setup. Yes, there are the markets where these products are bought in bulk, the Shahalmi markets, they're billions of dollars worth of stuff is bought there, probably undeclared, untaxed, or at least something like that. And that is distributed to the informal retail throughout Pakistan. It is definitely competitive. It is efficient in terms of its reach to all of Pakistan. But in terms of the national economy and its contribution to the national economy, maybe it's insignificant in terms of what it does contribute and to the formal retail. I would say the wholesale in terms of the purchase side is completely dominated by the informal sector. And the efficiencies are only due to the ways and means they have found to in order to circumvent the rules and regulations of Pakistan.
Why don't you guys interface with that?
Nadeem sir, for example, none of our brands are necessarily involved in the trade that they're specialized in. Now, what they do import, let's come to children's wear. You see a lot of people importing children's frocks and shoes from China and so on. Now these people have made their businesses based on circumventing the rules and regulations of the country. None of us are interested in getting to that business. If we do follow the rules and we try to compete with them, we will get decimated. Just the last point, the distribution in terms of retail is very, very big from where I come from. Women's wear, unstitched clothing. It is huge. It's again, 90% dominated by the informal sector. But companies like Gul Ahmed, Maria V, Sana Safinaz, we have a large portion of our production being sold to wholesalers and so on and so forth to the rest of the country. Our challenges with them are again tax compliance. We have to take some hits on ourselves when they refuse to be compliant. But it is a huge industry. We don't know much about it. No one really knows much about it, except a few people who really have an idea about how the textile sector of Pakistan, the informal textile sector, operates. So I would say it is a huge sector, the distribution.
Okay, let's come to the constraints. What is stopping you from growing, apart from your own mindset? Okay, we've dealt with the mom and pop mindset. We've dealt with the state culture. Now, let's talk about it. You talk about regulations being a problem. Malls. Are malls coming up fast enough? Do you need more malls? Is getting permission difficult? How do you change your culture? How are you going about changing your culture? Are you trying to change it? Is your sector educated enough? Are you willing to get in more educated people? And finally, the other thing is, what kind of services do you require that you don't get? For example, I found when I did this study in Sialkot a long time ago in Gujarat, et cetera, in entrepreneurship, I found one of the biggest constraints that they had was design services. Another big constraint that they had was consulting services, strategic consulting. How did they grow? Another big constraint that they had was human capital development services. So tell me, which one of these constraints matter to you and which one of these are important? And just point to your constraints, have a discussion on your constraints.
Don't tell me. I think it's, go ahead. I think. I think it's one of the constraints that's very obvious in our discussion is the regulations, mm-hmm. right? It's the consistency. And I think that is where the biggest
complete shift is needed. Spell those regulations out to me. What is it that's holding you back?
So the consistency part, right? Okay. If you want to go into a taxation regime, make sure that the taxation regime sticks. It is there and it is there at least for 3 to 4 years and doesn't change every 6 months. Secondly, make the regulations unfeasible for those not registering, make it unfeasible for them to not pay taxes. So make those regulations so simple and easy to comply with and not so heavy on the pocket that there is absolutely no benefit in not paying the taxes. We're not saying that make it zero. We're not saying make it 2% or whatever it may be, but has to be an attractive reason for these people to shift. And that will automatically create the competition between the small retail operators, the corner shops, the mom and pop shops, as well as the developed retailers. It will give, and I completely agreed what you said last time, that paying full taxes and doing everything on the books will help you grow. It doesn't help. Everybody has shown, I think, not less than 400 to 500% growth in the last maybe 8 years. It stopped also two to three years ago. So that's clear. That's clear reason for that. Second thing is I think on the culture side, right? On the mindset side. Well, part of the culture. So we go from a manufacturer to a distributor to a retailer. I feel that we need to make up our operators, our retail players need to make up their minds what they want to call themselves. Are we manufacturers? Are we exporters? Or are we retailers? Or are we landowners? So you see, that's another issue, right? A lot of the retailers say that ye jagah hamari apni hai, business nahi chalega, koi masla nahi hai, kam as kam value to badh jayegi zameen ki. That's not the basis to start a business, right? So we have to decide what we need to do. The largest private retailer, the second largest private retailer in the world who owns no brands, has zero assets. He does not own a single store. He's out of Kuwait. And he does not, and he, as a matter of policy, does not invest in any space. So that's I think a model we need to look at. And of course, the acceptability of working in the retail sector. As far as service is concerned, I feel that there is a lot of difference between the way some of the big international brands work and the way some of our brands work. How we source, how we design, how we do our range planning, how we use our data. So data is important. Right? Data is something that we just, we can never have enough of it, but we certainly don't even have the bare minimum that we need in our market to be able to do well. So I think that's where a lot of collaboration is needed between the retailers. A lot of work is needed on the government front, on organizations such as yourself, on other such associations who can help us collect the data, help us actually analyze that what do we really need to do and do it on a more calculated, in a more calculated way and plan for the future that way.
I'd like to touch upon a couple of these points. Absolutely, regulations is a critical area, and not just the formulation of the regulations, but the implementation of them. I mean, I'd like to touch upon two major points as far as the regulation is concerned. There's the tax side, which unfortunately for a lot of people in the documented side, they're generating more taxes for the government than they are earning in income, especially over the last 1 to 2 years, if you look at that. And that's alarming in my opinion. because then there is no possibility of growth or wanting to stay in this or scale up further in this business, number one. Number two, because we are import oriented to a large extent in retail, we have these disparities in terms of duties and the gray channel of imports and so on, where it's a big challenge in terms of ensuring that people who want to work by the book are able to do so. Unfortunately, this is where the tax machinery comes into play for both these aspects, because they are short-term targets, short-term goals, and of course, the corruption and all that, where actually we are in this country, and for retail, especially in the last couple of years, we have organized retailers are being punished and being forced back, and unorganized or informal retailers are being rewarded in terms of not being taxed or not being the taxes for the policies not being implemented on them or enforced due to the corruption element. So I think that is a huge bottleneck for the retail sector at the moment, and it's growingly so. So that needs to be looked at definitely. The other one more aspect I'd like to touch upon is the for retail is the high cost structure. As you mentioned, I mean, now I think as far as malls are concerned, I think at this stage perhaps we are at a good place. In fact, unfortunately, due to the crisis, you'll see a lot of, due to fiscal problems, you'll see a lot of sort of a shakeup in this sense. But I think we do need better quality malls coming in and being replaced and so on. But I think the unfortunate thing is the cost structure has gone up so high as far as rentals are concerned, of course, payroll costs and other costs. But I think the stifling by the government in terms of the policy, and of course, the consistency of policy, as Yasin very rightly said, this is a big pain point that we need consistent policies, and a plan. You know, I mean, unfortunately, governments come and they make plans, either they don't make the plans or the plans they make, they don't implement them or they keep changing. But this is not good for any business, especially investment heavy businesses, because we invest in rented properties. We don't own our own properties. We go out and rent a place. We spend millions and millions and tens of millions on those premises. But then if it doesn't work out, then there's no salvage value for that investment. So it's a very risky business and increasingly so at the moment. I would say the culture is a problem and the mindset is a problem. And all this sort of forces, and the fear factor also forces a lot of people from scaling up or from being documented, in my opinion. And that needs to change if you're going to get anywhere.
Sure. But Wasif Saab, what about, do you have enough space available? I mean, let's say if you want to scale rapidly, do you have enough commercial space available for you to scale up, let's say go all over Pakistan? Because look, right now, let me also add, I should have added it earlier. We have, from what I hear, Urban Unit, many people have done this research, we have at least about 300-400 cities above 100,000 people. 100,000 people is a powerhouse. You will never find a city with 100,000 people where you won't find, for example, a CVS, or you won't find a big store, department store, or showroom and things like that. So why isn't there, if I go to a city like Gujarat or Gujranwala or even Faisalabad, why is retail, let me use an American term, retail sucks there? Why?
Nadeem Saab, you're absolutely right. So in the past few years, Joe, after the growth that we mentioned to you, around 20-25% growth across all brands, this was a big issue. And hence the issue that Aswan touched upon, the rentals really started skyrocketing. So the supply, there was a supply and demand issue even within the established city. And obviously, when you go to the tier two cities, which are the 400 that you mentioned, there was no infrastructure at all. So this was supposed to, the demand and supply metrics, I think, have gone a bit haywire in the past a few years. And obviously, us retailers thought it was viable to ramp up the rents, to ramp up the price we were willing to pay for that land. And I think that has led to a certain extent to the crisis that we're facing today. That now that because of the taxation regime change and now this COVID-19 challenge, these fixed, very, very high fixed costs are really, really becoming probably the biggest challenge for us in order to sustain our businesses.
It's not enough to develop real estate for you to trade it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the reason why I say the prices went up was because the supply was restricted, and hence the demand was higher than the supply. So you're absolutely right. There is a land and space issue, and I would place that issue across Pakistan. If I'm saying there's an issue in Lahore, then obviously there's an issue in Gujranwala, and obviously there's an issue in Gujarat, that when I want to go there and I have a shop that's being offered to me, it's next to a spare parts shop or a mechanic shop, that, you know, this is the option you have available, then yes, the retail cannot grow at that pace. And I agree, that's a valid point that you've raised about land and space.
What about services? Do you have enough designers available? Do you have enough, you know, brand managers available? Do you have those? I mean, for example, in businesses that I see in the US operates because they've got a large amount of contractable skills that they can hire very rapidly, consultants, right, and things like that. Do you have enough of those?
Nadeem Saab, I think yes. In the past, maybe if you asked me 5 years ago, I would have had issues with the right skills being available for us. But I think, again, you know, you mentioned the Carrefours of the world and the, you know, the Mobilinks and the Nestles of the world. There's been a great trickle down of people who've had the right training. And obviously, I admit we have not been able to give that training ourselves necessarily. But the MNCs and have brought in the good practices. And I feel we've been able to get the right people for management and in terms of designers, etc. The schools have flourished because there was a pent-up demand for people. We are the people who are willing to pay that those extra bucks that the traditional textile industry was not willing to pay a new graduates. So hence, we did create that demand. And I feel the education sector has come up pretty well in terms of putting up the right people for us. Obviously, I can't say everything's hunky-dory, but yes, there has been a good progress towards getting the kind of service and the kind of skills we need.
Okay. Here's the question everybody's waiting for. E-commerce. Are you guys ready? You tell me that your digital data is everything, but are you guys ready? Right now, I can hardly get anything electronically in Pakistan. I'm totally disappointed in Daraz. I've been putting it on Twitter recently. Daraz is a con job. I think e-commerce is not ready at all. So are you guys ready for e-commerce? Or is it just something that we mouth all the time?
So, I mean, we are ready if we want to be. Daraz, I think, is a different example because they've come in. So you see, you have to understand what their objective is. Companies like Daraz, when they enter a certain market, right? Their objective is to build traffic. And that the easiest way to build traffic, in my opinion, is through discounts. So right now, unfortunately, because the big players are focusing on promotional-led sales online, somehow that's become a bit of an expectation that whatever you see in the stores, if you look for it online, it'll be cheaper. Now, the idea for e-commerce, in my opinion, is that everything has to be seamless. Same experience, same product, same price available in your stores as they are online. The service element needs to be even actually better, much better than what you have in the store. So are we ready? Perhaps not in our minds, because we are not treating online as a business that it needs to be treated as. So it needs to be treated as a large chunk of the business. So the target needs to be, I guess, an immediate target needs to. So this is how the kind of benchmark that international brands work on, right? So when they launch e-commerce, they want to be the number three store. The moment their own third best store, the moment they start off, within a year, they need to be the best performing store within their portfolio. And within 3 years, internationally in developed Western markets, they need to have at least 30 to 40% of their business needs to be online. So it's an internal decision that I think that all of us need to take internally, that are we willing to put our investment behind it? You can compete, absolutely. The technology has to be correct. Your proper customer service aspect of the back has to be correct. I mean, we are servicing many of the large online, not online stores, I would say, but online presence in the US. A lot of them have their call centers based in Pakistan. So I don't understand how we are not, why would we not be able to deal with all these customer queries and be able to offer a service that we need to offer. So I think it's an internal mindset is one. Second is investing in the right technology and offering a solution to the customers that they would expect. I mean, so I'll give you my example. We started one of the international brands we represent.
Oops.
with together with that 500% growth, we've also seen a 500% growth in complaints. And that's purely our fault. We're not able to address the service expectations that people have of us. So I think that's where we really need to focus. But yes, we can do it.
So e-commerce, you're not ready, basically. Let's put it that way. Lots of thoughts, but not ready yet. And you're going to be ready again, like we are ready with the malls after the fact. We might be ready with e-commerce after the fact too. So folks, any
other? I would say that there are some players who are definitely ready, who are in it. And they are at least five or so players that I can name off the top of my head who I feel have done a good job online, technology-wise as well as service-wise. But on my personal level, I feel that if my sales were to increase 10 times in the next month, I won't be able to cope with it. So yes, if you want to call that not ready, absolutely.
I'd like to add, please. I think as Yasin mentioned, we're not prepared for e-commerce and are not ready to service customers as we need to be. But I think with this crisis, with the COVID-19 crisis, we've had around 50 days of brick and mortar stores being closed. And then I think about three weeks ago, e-commerce was opened up. And each and every retailer who before that was maybe within their overall revenue, 5, maximum 10% of their sales were e-commerce, on a good day or in a lot of better cases. And they suddenly realized that e-commerce is the only option for revenues. And everybody shifted their focus onto e-commerce finally. And I think a friend of mine used this phrase, ke, jab tak maut nahi dikhti toh bughar nazar nahi hota. So I think it's simple si baat hai ki people had no choice. And I can speak for every retailer. Everybody dived into e-commerce and figured out how can we scale? How can we scale? What are the bottlenecks? What are the issues? So finally, that realization within brick and mortar retailers who were semi-prepared or at least had some kind of presence, who were able to focus on e-commerce and get some reasonable revenues over the past couple of weeks, despite brick and mortar stores being closed. So I think this was a great, unfortunately, within the crisis, there was an opportunity and people focused on e-commerce. And I think this will change and be a game changer for a lot of retailers to stop focusing on brick and mortar as much and not neglect e-commerce within their retail business. And there's a long way to go in terms of e-commerce in Pakistan. I mean, it's not even 1% of overall retail sales in the whole country compared to India, where it's 2%, other places 5% and so on. But I think we have a long way to go. But I think now we have no choice and we must move forward.
So basically, let's put it this way, retail is not ready for e-commerce. Let's leave it at that. Yasir Sahab, you're the ES address, Karina. Why do you have an association? Why do you guys have an association? Everybody wants a trade association. There's an association for even God knows what, everything I hear. There's an association for Kachi Abadi, association for this, etc. Are you just another lobbying association? Do you want SROs? Do you want some subsidies? What is it for? Do you do some knowledge sharing, solving problems, or are you forming cartels? Are you doing any good? I mean, why the trade association? Can you tell me?
So as far as we are concerned, the main purpose was to help foster the growth of the retail sector and to help develop it, right? So of course, that included regulatory framework. So having a common ground for the regulatory framework. One was for sharing data so that we could help each other on HR, on training, on hiring the right minds, on organizing training seminars for our internal people as well as retail sector as a whole. And the third was to bring in resource, bring in talent, bring in experts from around the world to do that, just basically to help everybody understand what retail is about. As far as the common ground for our on the government side was concerned, the idea was to explain and show them the potential and the opportunity that lies in the retail sector and how important it is to help to recognize, first of all, retail as an industry, which it still has not been, and to then devise a way to create the opportunity. But sadly, all that we've been doing, I'm not very proud of it, but all that, well, let's put it this way, 70% of what we've been doing is fighting in plugging all the leaks, right? On the taxation front, on the regulatory front, and so on and so forth. And of course, right now, it's been a blessing, because if we didn't have these two associations, it would have been very difficult to manage the chaos that's been created at times of Corona for our industry, which is completely shut.
Good, good. Jalanji, so thank you very much. I think we had a very good discussion. Let me move to the floor now, to the audience. Let me ask let me just summarize. Yeah, our retail sector is primitive. Our retail sector is like everything else in this country backwards. We seem to miss every opportunity. We should have made the malls when PID was asking for them in 2006. Now we are not even making malls. Our cities, apart from Lahore, Karachi, Islamabad, nobody has a mall. The rest of the malls are pathetic. Commercial real estate is terrible. Another thing we never covered, commercial real estate is so bad, sometimes I don't even want to go there because, you know, it's just pathetic. It's you can't even park your car, you can't walk around, you can't do anything. So that's a problem. So let me ask first before I go to the floor, are there any retailers here who'd like to, I see three hands raised, but I'd just like to ask, for example, Sheriar Baksh had promised he'd come. Is Sheriar here? If he's here, then I'd like to take Sheriar first. If he isn't here, Hamid Zaman had promised to come. Is he here? No. Okay. No. Then in that case, okay, let me see any other retailer here who'd like to speak. Otherwise, I'll go to the three people who raised their hands. No? Okay. And Mohsin Iqbal, please, can you go ahead?
Okay, Mike, thank you, Deem Saab. My question is for Yasin Paracha Saab regarding BBRC members. I want to know how do you rank and rate the BBRC members in use of technologies and adoption of new technologies at an Asia Pacific?
Can you also tell us what is BBRC, please?
That's the Pakistan Retail Business Council. I abbreviated it.
PRBC, okay, fair enough.
PRBC.
Yeah, PRBC.
Sorry. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Okay. Complete your question. Sorry, Mohsin.
So the question is like, how do you rank and rate PBRC members in use of technologies and adoption of new technologies at an Asia Pacific level?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll collect the question and we'll come back to you. Please just note down the question, then we'll come back to you. Okay, Aisha Moriani. Aisha Bibi, are you there?
I'm Joint Secretary in the Ministry of Commerce, and I really wanted to listen the perspective of retailers. And Aswan Diyar has been working with us very closely for the e-commerce policy. Mera question to the retailers is ki ji ye hum dekhte hain ki Turkey mein, India mein, har jagah pe online bahut tezi se bada hai. Aur retail mein jo jaise ye kariana store aur chote chote jo hamare grocery stores bahut sare nazar aate hain, they are very important part of the retail sector. So why can't we develop an IT-based platform like Kareem and Uber, ki jisme jo closest kariana register ho jaye aur wo ab cheezein deliver kar de. Ab ye jaise Aswan yaar keh raha tha ki ye COVID obviously very unfortunate situation, but there is a great opportunity for the retail to grow online. So abhi tak ye is tarah ki technology exist bhi karti hai. And one of the participants just mentioned ke bahut si service outsourced US Pakistan mein hui hai. So what they want us to do, Ministry of Commerce mein, we will soon have a dialogue with the retail sector ki isko kaise hum online lekar jayein. So I would very much like to listen from them ke ji policy level pe e-commerce mein hum kya cheez add karein ki retail ko help ho.
Excellent, very good. Ji Ashraf saab, Ashraf saab hain ki nahi? No. Naseem Beg sir, would you like to go?
Should I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
This discussion, what I haven't heard is the demand side from the consumer's point of view. 2 points. Obviously, if the demand hogi, to retailers us tarike se react karenge. A major factor, despite the fact that you said a city of 100,000 people, the purchasing power is extremely low. So jitni unki pocket hogi, utna hi unki demands hogi, utne discerning honge. And I think that is a point that has to be recognized. What I have observed over time here, living in Pakistan, that as we started having a lot of people go off to the GCC, especially middle income families, go and live and work there and come back, they became demanding. Unne duniya dekh li, unne aake demand karna shuru kar diya, or from a consumer angle. But generally, when you talk of 200 million people, bulk are low but small pocket size, and therefore jo mil jaye wo, I mean, you come from a history jahan par aapko ye ration card milta tha, aapko dish out ki jati cheeze, you'd be thankful ke mil gaya. Abhi bhi government ke ye jo fair price shop or whatever they're called, usme bahut log jate hain. Ab wo jo milega aap leke aa jaoge khushi khushi. So that side has not been discussed in this session as yet.
Theek hai. Numer Suleri sir, Numer Suleri,
can you hear me, sir?
Ji, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My name is Numer Suleri, and I am an active researcher on retail side. Naseem sir have rightfully have said that all this discussion was towards the supply side, and we have discussed all the imperfections of the supply side, but we have not touched the demand side. I want to answer the question of Naseem sir why we have not done it, and I'll answer it in terms of natural selection. We are a blessed nation, and if I am a retailer, I'm a lucky because population is increasing, and because population is increasing, retail sector is not saturated, and when it is not saturated, sales laws apply, and supply makes its own demand. It's very simple. People are eager to get the things from wherever it's possible, and if you talk about current situation, we want to get the things even if it's like costly. But in all that process, we have forgotten few basic things, and what we have forgotten as retailers, we are not developing our own indigenous model of retail. We are copying the model of retailers that is coming from international side. And if we talk about the customers on the other hand side, on the other side, the demand side, the customers are having the uniqueness in Pakistan. And very sorry to say to all of you, but our retailers don't know their customers. The only thing they know is the price-based competition. And that is what they are doing. They are offering everything, most of them are offering on the basis of price. A small fraction, I would say like 5 to 10% of the retailers are targeting the assortment, the imported products. In another thing that that is lacking in our retail sector is the trust between the sellers and the customers. Our sellers necessarily don't trust the customers, and it's reciprocated by the customers as well. And in that, you were talking about e-commerce and all that. E-commerce is the next big move in international economy. And the reason that it's not very successful in Pakistan is lack of payment mechanism. State Bank is working on the payment mechanism, and believe me, till the time we will get something like PayPal or something intermediary which will guarantee the exchange, this thing will skyrocket. My question to the panelist is that all that we are doing is not based on the research. Why it's like that? Why we are not looking inside to our customers, to our industry? Why we are eager to copy everything that is offered elsewhere in Dubai, China, India, UK, everywhere?
Good questions. Amreen Waheed Sahiba.
Ji, assalamu alaikum. I'm Amreen Waheed from Responsible Business Initiative. I think bahut se sawal to mere khayal mein Numer sahab ne mere se pehle jo unhone baat ki hai wo customer related, but I think one thing is the mindset change. हमारा बहुत क्वालिटी और ट्रस्ट की ये बात कर रहे थे बिल्कुल वी ऑलवेज और परचेजिंग पावर आई थिंक वी हैव अ परचेजिंग पावर आपने देखा ही है जैसे वो लॉकडाउन खुला है तो लोग परचेजिंग के लिए चले गए बट द माइंड सेट इज कि एक्सपोर्ट इज ऑलवेज गुड तो वो थोड़ा सा बिहेवियरल चेंज की जरूरत है द कस्टमर की एजुकेशन की जरूरत है मैं इसमें डिटेल में नहीं जाऊंगी मेरा एक और सवाल था कि वी हैव टॉक्ड अबाउट इनकंसिस्टेंसी ऑफ पॉलिसी एंड टैक्सेस और मेकिंग इट सिंपल फॉर द सप्लाई चेन में जो इनफॉर्मल सेक्टर और इनफॉर्मल सप्लाई चेन है उसके लिए तो माय क्वेश्चन इज टू द एसोसिएशंस और इनसे के ठीक है हम वी नो दिस हम 20-30 साल से यही बात कर रहे हैं इशू हमें पता है ये तो व्हाट हैव द एसोसिएशन डन कितना लॉबी की है गवर्नमेंट के साथ बात की है या उस पर अगर कोई आप थोड़ा उन चीज़ों पर बात कर लें तो आई थिंक आगे के लिए आप क्या सोच रहे हैं कैसे इसको टैकल करेंगे क्योंकि कंस्ट्रेंट्स को टैकल भी तो करना है ना कंस्ट्रेंट्स की लिस्ट बना के तो नहीं रखनी है थैंक यू
अच्छा जी आई थिंक मैं जरा क्विकली पैनल से जवाब ले लूं देन आई विल हैव अनदर राउंड ऑफ क्वेश्चंस ऑल्दो दो तीन बंदे वेट कर रहे हैं और डू यू थिंक आई शुड टेक द क्वेश्चंस व्हाट डू यू थिंक
जी आई थिंक सो दैट वुड बी गुड
ले लूं क्वेश्चंस और या यू वांट टू आंसर
नहीं आई थिंक लेट्स आंसर दीज एंड देन वी कैन मूव फॉरवर्ड बिकॉज़ सम ऑफ देम आई मे बी आंसर्स विल बी एड्रेस्ड हियर जी
Okay.
Yasin sahab, would you like to take the PRBC question and then we can
yes forward. Yes yeah so the first question I think Mohsin sahab ka tha ki PRBC mein Asia Pacific what how do the members rank on technology in Asia Pacific if you had said Pakistan I would have said they rank probably very well but since you said Asia Pacific I don't think we're even there on the graph yet we're far off we're very very far off there's a lot of progress needed on the technology front as far as the online businesses as far as retail services are concerned so that's basically my answer to it
yeah I'd like to answer the e-commerce related question and a couple others e-commerce Ms. Aisha ne a question raised kiya regarding the kiryana store and the grocery segment which largely has been not been digitalized and I think within this crisis we have seen a lot of people rush and you know find a way ke phone pe whatsapp pe सोशल मीडिया के थ्रू अपने छोटे वेबसाइट्स के थ्रू ऑनलाइन आने की कोशिश कर रहे हैं विच इज ग्रेट एंड देयर आर कपल ऑफ प्राइवेट सेक्टर सॉल्यूशंस फॉर द किरियाना स्टोर्स विच आर वर्किंग ऑन यू नो लोकेशन बेस्ड एंड जियो बेस्ड सॉर्ट ऑफ सर्विंग दोज कस्टमर्स इन अ क्विक वे मैनेजिंग बट ऑब्वियसली दैट्स इट्स आई थिंक इट्स अ वर्क इन प्रोग्रेस एज फार एज आई नो ऑफ कोर्स नन ऑफ अस आर डूइंग इट एज आई नो बिकॉज़ वी आर मोर इन फैशन बट आई थिंक अ लॉट ऑफ पीपल आर सॉर्ट ऑफ लुकिंग एट दिस एस्पेक्ट ऑफ ग्रोसरी एंड डिलीवरी एक और जो e-commerce related बात
है सॉरी अश्वंदर इफ यू अलाउ आईड आल्सो लाइक टू जस्ट ऐड समथिंग टू दिस किरियाना ऑनलाइन सो आयशा जो आपने सवाल पूछा है इट्स म्यूजिक टू माय इयर्स आई लव इट आई वाज होपिंग दैट समबडी वुड से दिस सम टाइम बैक सो आई हैव डन सम वर्क ऑन इट दीस किरियाना स्टोर्स और खोकास और व्हाटएवर यू वुड लाइक टू कॉल देम इन पाकिस्तान दे कॉल वरुंग इन इंडोनेशिया एंड देयर आर मिलियंस ऑफ देम सो आई हैव हैड extended conversations on this front with them it's very possible it can be done yesterday in fact I had a talk with three people on the same subject on organizing this so I think we need to take this up there's a huge opportunity and a huge potential and definitely there is if you can sort out the regulatory side where these kiryana stores and these small corner shops don't feel threatened on you know the kind of taxes they have to pay and don't consider that this will become a big issue with them we can definitely work on it
ji if I can also add
sorry I'll go
on just one, this one point
bata de demand side pe sawal aaye the wo bhi zara bata de
ji wo main is pe aata hu please
ji isme e-commerce ke andar just because ek baat chal rahi hai so I have closely worked with a company jo Monsanto when it came to Pakistan it wanted to distribute its product down to the kiryana stores in the smallest of the gowns and the hearts of the country so it was I've gone through the entire technical problems those were resolved they were you know it's technology wise Pakistan is right there just agar hum puri duniya ko apni IT services and consumer customer support services dete hain so it was a right question why can't we do it ourselves the kiryana problem was the experiment was actually done this is 2 years ago the problem is again taxation so whenever a platform wanted to engage with them as a formal entity dealing with them in terms of deliveries, the issue once again arose of how to deal with the taxation, and there was too much resistance from the Kariana store owners about being documented in any way and even to open an account in any way. So yes, there this is a very vast subject. I mean, I could go on about it for like an hour. So this was a key issue due to which that pilot project had to be shelved. Aswin, you can now go on the demand.
I just wanted to jo ek aur point thoda sa brief tha wo e-commerce jo PayPal ki baat ho rahi thi and trust ka jo issue tha with the consumer on the digital e-commerce front. Dekhe, I think it's in my personal opinion and it's a myth that we need PayPal. We have a lot of good payment gateways available within Pakistan, and I think the issue is not the payment mechanism as much as it is the trust deficit between what you know. If I make an advance payment, will I get the product in time? Will I get it when I need it? Will it be the quality that I want? So that's why a lot of customers prefer COD, because cash on delivery, that is, so that they can get the product when they get it, they can decide whether to return it or not to return it, and to give the money there and then, and not to get their money stuck and then get into a dispute mechanism, dispute resolution issue. So I think that's a different issue. It's not necessarily the payment gateway, because we have quite a few now that have come up. Now, I think this point, this Naseem Saab also, I think, pointed out, and Umair Saab also, about the purchasing power issue. Now, this is, I think, for me, it's a very interesting topic, because, frankly, within Pakistan, I mean, we're a consumption-based economy, and our people, 90% plus is consumption. Savings to hoti nahi hai, usna the wealth accumulation in terms of the consumer side nahi hoti. And hamari yehi jo issue hai price-based competition ki, this is the reality ke bhi jo growth aayegi, us segment mein aayegi, unfortunately, jab tak ki hamari economic growth aur logon ka GDP per capita improve hoga, to hum yahin phase mein rahenge mere hisab se, which is a real, the biggest issue in a way. Ki hum logon ki baat karte hain ki 200, I mean, we have 220 million people, but actually what is the real purchasing power? What is the real demand? And we should, rather than making wonderful palaces in terms of malls and mega malls and taking the costs and everything so high, even our stores, honestly speaking, spending like so much extra money, but actually does the customer value that or not? That is the key question here. What does the customer want? So I think aapki baat mein bilkul valid hai. And I think replicate karne ke bajaye, we have to address these core issues, which I think also is going on, but it will also hurt or hinder the growth in the more value-added segment in terms of the product, higher price segment. But I think within the mass market, what potential hai to organize that sector, mass market or kiryana or grocery or your lower end of the bracket hai. And wahi kaam karna chahiye shayad hum sabko.
Thank you. You know, it's very interesting. I hope the Ministry of Commerce lady is here. It was 15 years ago that PID, we recommended that Ministry of Commerce should do something about the regulation of domestic commerce and to start taking domestic commerce seriously. Ministry of Commerce is still working on it 15 years later. We've recommended many times the tax policy should be simplified. Unfortunately, the government is a problem. The government won't listen, but in the private sector mindset is a problem too. But let me go to our panel, our audience again. Raza Saab, Raza Ali, go ahead. Raza Saab, are you there?
Yes.
Go ahead. Can you hear me, Raza Saab?
Jee, assalamu alaikum. Naseem Saab, this thing was raised that the bulk of the retail sector is in informal. And I wonder if some of your participants can shed some light on the informal sector. We've been talking of Kiryana and other things. But basically, the issue that one is the Kiryana shop and the other is this what is called the street economy, which is basically more mobile vending, etc., which and it is linked very much to the Kiryana shops and the others. So I would really like if your participants can shed some light on the linkages between the formal and the informal vending that takes place.
Fair enough. Ahmed Pirzada joining us from England, I think. Ahmed?
Thank you for letting me participate. So I'm a lecturer at the University of Bristol, and I've got a few comments, to be honest. And then I'll want to take some of the perspective from the panelists as well. So there's a lot of talk in what I've heard about taxing the small sector, the small retailer. Lekin at the same time, I want to bring out, like, there's a lot of evidence to do with, especially in the international trade literature, the firms which are more productive, they end up participating in the export market. And I very much believe that the same is also true when we start thinking about the formal, informal sector, organized, unorganized sector. So it's the more productive firms which are going to basically start participating in an organized fashion. Now, so then the question is not to hum jo discussion ho rahi hai usme mujhe feeling hai ki hum ulta pakadne ki koshish kar rahe hain ki nahi aap hum unko pehle organize karte hain and then basically they'll somehow become profitable. I think the question we should be asking is ki how should we make them more productive, or what's stopping them from becoming productive, which then will obviously make it worthwhile for them to, let's say, formalize themselves. Ab is question ka kya answer hoga? Isme ek to ye safe culture ki baat aa jati hai. I'm not sure what that means, to be honest.
Yeah, sorry, can I just jump in? Just one second. I think I just want to clarify one point you have raised kiya taki usse koi confusion na phele. I'm sorry. Is that okay? Can I just comment on your initial comment?
You just comment later, khatam kar rahe hain, fir aap baad mein baat.
Okay, sure. Aap kar lein. Because wo aage bhi ek cheez hai.
Please.
Sure. Ji. So second jo baat thi wo state culture ki thi. State culture, I'm not sure. I'm not too familiar with how businesses work in Pakistan. But in state culture, I'm assuming that that probably means family ownership, right? Or family ownership exists karti hai. It's not just a Pakistan phenomenon. It exists all over the world. Or empirical evidence is sort of, there's no clear-cut evidence that one is better than the other, depending on how you are basically performing, the degree, or how developed your financial markets are, and so on, right? अच्छा अब इसमें मैं दो पॉइंट्स हाईलाइट करना चाहता हूँ जो आपने भी यू मेंशन देम एट द वेरी बिगनिंग एंड विच आर आल्सो लिंक्ड विद व्हाट द पार्टिसिपेंट्स आर मेंशनिंग विद रिगार्ड्स टू द सर्टेनिटी ऑफ द एनवायरनमेंट विच इज बीइंग मेड अवेलेबल टू द रिटेल सेक्टर. वन इज द प्राइस सिस्टम. अ प्राइस सिस्टम बेसिकली टेल्स द रिटेलर व्हाट द कस्टमर वॉन्ट्स. अब प्राइस सिस्टम में हम हर वक्त इंटरवीन करते हैं. कमोडिटी सेक्टर तो हमारा बेसिकली इट्स प्राइस बाय द गवर्नमेंट एट ऑल लेवल्स ऑफ द सप्लाई चेन. Retail sector, which we think is competitive, but that's also implicitly priced by the government by, let's say, the exchange rate policy, tariff policies, and so on. Aur usme abrupt changes aati rehti hain, and then we are sort of creating by design and uncertainty in how in the communication process between the retailer side and the customer side. So I think ek ye important point hai, I think, which is sort of stopping the retailers and the customers to sort of synchronize what they are telling each other. Jo second point hai, wo hai जो आपने भी सेकंड पॉइंट मेंशन किया, रादर थर्ड पॉइंट मेंशन किया कि हम एक्सपेक्ट क्या कर रहे हैं रिटेल सेक्टर से. इज देयर ऑब्जेक्टिव टू लेट्स से प्रमोट लोकल बिजनेसेस और लोकल सोर्सिंग, और इज देयर ऑब्जेक्टिव टू प्रमोट कस्टमर एक्सपीरियंस. अब हम अपने रिटेलर से आई डोंट नो व्हाट वी आर एक्सपेक्टिंग. कभी हम एक्सपेक्ट करते हैं कि अब उन्होंने कस्टमर एक्सपीरियंस प्रोवाइड करने है, कभी हम एक्सपेक्ट करते हैं कि उन्होंने इम्पोर्ट सब्स्टिट्यूशन करनी है. अब इन माय माइंड रिटेल सेक्टर के साथ हमें तो एक्सपेक्ट करना चाहिए कि दे आर बेसिकली देयर टू बेसिकली मीट द कंज्यूमर नीड्स, और कंज्यूमर जो ऑब्जेक्टिव है, कंज्यूमर यूटिलिटी है, उसको उन्होंने मैक्सिमाइज करना है. अब वो कैसे होगा? आपने काफून की एग्जांपल दी, व्हिच इज वेरी वेरी रेलेवेंट हियर, क्योंकि काफून हाउ आर दे स्पेशल. द रीजन व्हाई दे आर स्पेशल इज बिकॉज़ दे आर वेरी मच इंटीग्रेटेड विद द इंटरनेशनल रीजनल सप्लाई चेन्स और होलसेलर्स, इफ यू वांट टू यूज द टर्म. And they can probably provide better services or goods to our or customer experience to our customers. Ab hamara jo local retailer hai, even in the organized sector, ab unke liye tariff barriers bhi hain, regional markets bhi humne unke liye band karke rakhi hui hain. China hum karte rehte hain, but Chinese markets are too far away, or at least the developed China or the rich China is very far from Pakistan geographically. Or trade literature, once again, it's sort of there's a consensus that businesses or most of the trade happens with your regional countries. That's the avenue which we have shut out for our retailers. Ab us context mein, it's sort of very hard for the retailer to basically match the efficiency of any international player which is going to come in with their own networks of wholesalers and other supply networks. Ab all of these are macro issues. One is the intervention in the price system implicitly or explicitly. The second one is basically opening up the regional market for our own retailers. And then obviously, if you do all that, then obviously it's going to become worthwhile for the retailers or it's going to increase the productivity of our retailers, therefore making it worthwhile even for the smaller retailer to maybe join the formal sector and become documented or whatever. So one last thing, actually I was making very elaborate notes here.
Well, you can come back later, don't worry. You can come back.
So I think so these are the few points which I've got. So
if you remember, you can come back later. Okay.
Sure.
Naseem,
thank you.
Naseem, sir, you want to say something again?
I thought I'd just share a little quick thing. I've been in the retail business for 20 years selling mutual funds. And so I'm not giving anything in. Main aapke paise le leta hun, or I just give you a promise to look after your money. So that's a very difficult sell. Just to share with the audience that about 2 years ago, our company, it's run by younger people now, so and I have to give them credit, they decided to go very strongly into the digital space. And they are now have a mature platform. And in the last 1 year or so, I've seen a phenomenal growth in the number of people they've been able to contract and bring in. Albeit the sums of money are small, but just to give the context, we had about 30,000 retail investment accounts in this population of 200 million people. And they've more than doubled that in 1 year by going digital. And there we've had the benefit of the lower regulatory requirement for smaller amounts of the KYC, et cetera, et cetera. So there are things happening. In the last few weeks, we've actually seen a huge increase in the interaction with people on that, including people want to start saving now because they want to save for the rainy day. So it's actually, you know, being there in the digital space has helped us a lot. I thought I'd just share this little information.
Excellent, thank you. Numer Sab, do you want to say anything again? Or have I forgot to lower your hand?
I want to add something, Nadeem sir. The thing that we are missing here is bifurcation of retail sector. We are mixing up the retail banking, the organized retail, the wholesale retail, and grocery retails, fashion retails together. Dynamic of every retail is different. Secondly, I want to answer something that has been raised by Ahmed Pirzada, and that is related to the regulation. I don't know how to say it, but if you analyze the margins, retail margins in Pakistan with rest of the world, you will find a lot of difference. And that difference is the main imperfection that is creating many things to happen. If you don't move towards the actual margins, and I mean to say like narrow margins, and you work on big margins, I know imperfections are a lot in Pakistan, and for that, people, retailers have to keep extraordinary margins. But still, till the time these margins are not eliminated, we will not become competitive internationally. We will be good for our own retail. And that is what will hit us when these international retailers will realize something and will effectively proliferate in Pakistani market. I mean, if we talk about Carrefour, I mean, 6-7 stores is not a problem. It can be catered. But if it is like 60 or 70 stores, we have seen what happened to the Indian market. Reliance was a better competitor to Tesco, was a better competitor to Walmart, but even it had faced a lot of things that even we cannot imagine that this time. So just a small comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Jalanji, let me go back to the panel. Do you have any thoughts and final thoughts and questions before we close down?
I just wanted to address a couple of the issues raised by Ahmed Saab. I think rightly mentioned that we need to be, you know, very clear on what the vision is in terms of this. Okay, Vasif also talked about quite a while ago, was India or any other country realized that this is what we want. We want to build local domestic commerce, local heroes, local businesses, and then they put in protectionist measures and other things. We need to be very clear what we want out of the retail sector or any other really sector. First, we say, as you mentioned, customer experience ke liye, imported products are the best bet. That's what they want. And then we say, I mean, ye nahi ho sakta, ab locally karo, lekin uski capacity bhi zaruri hai, uski supply chain zaruri hai, manufacturing zaruri hai. So we need to be very clear of what our vision is for our domestic commerce within at the top level, and then that needs to be driven down to the private sector, and even with private and public partnership needs to be derived. Jo Ahmed saab ka ek point tha regarding the undocumented sector and the unorganized sector, I want to clarify here that the problem is not for, because small retailers to unke apne हिसाब से उनका एक होता है इन टर्म्स ऑफ टैक्सेशन. एक्चुअली इन पाकिस्तान वी हैव अ लॉट ऑफ द अनडॉक्यूमेंटेड सेक्टर और लार्ज पीपल हु आर डूइंग टेंस ऑफ हंड्रेड्स एंड हंड्रेड्स ऑफ मिलियंस ऑफ बिजनेस इन रिटेल बट आर नॉट ऑन द मैप इन टर्म्स ऑफ टैक्सेशन. एंड वी हैव सीन दिस इन द रिटेल सेक्टर एंड दिस इज एक्चुअली द इशू वेयर दैट वी आर फेसिंग विद इन पाकिस्तान इन द टैक्स द इन्फोर्समेंट ऑफ द टैक्स पॉलिसीज एंड ऑफ कोर्स कंसिस्टेंसी अपनी जगह पे. बट ये आई एम नॉट टॉकिंग अबाउट नेसेसरली द स्मॉल ट्रेडर्स बट वी टॉकिंग अबाउट actually larger businesses that actually are not in the net. So that's sort of a distinction there. And jo ek chhota sa point tha Ms. Imreen ka, ke bhi what are we doing as an association or what is being talked about in terms of lobbying. Unfortunately, I mean, retail, as we mentioned, organized sector to 10 saal ke lagbhag hue hain ya usse par zyada. So associations hamari 2-3 saal ho gaye hain sir. But we are trying very hard ke bhi we get our voice and raise our voice to the policy makers, get our point of view across, build an understanding of the retail sector and the retail trade in Pakistan, because there is a lack of it, I think, in the policy side, which takes a while. A lot of the other sectors have had decades and decades of access and to the policy makers and, of course, lobbying and all that. So that is a big gap which we are trying to build upon. And we are having meetings, but it will take a little while, I feel, for them to realize. Yeah.
I just wanted to address something that
Yasin saab ek aur sawal poochna hai bhi lena Zubair Faisal Abbasi saab bole zara Zubair Abbasi are you there kya hua chale gaye Zubair Abbasi, are you speaking or not? Hello?
Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
Anji, now I can hear you.
Anji, now we can.
My question is that this organized and and informal sector in Pakistan in retail, what I have observed that the people who are registered with the tax authorities, those who are registered with even SACP, they are systematically discriminated in the system, that the people who are informal, they reap more benefits, they are more, those businesses are more profitable. And especially if you have some specific supply chains from Europe or from other countries, you have a brand, you sell a certain brand in Pakistan, then the smuggling and other smuggling and informal sector, actually FBR and the smugglers, they both basically gang up against you and they get you out of the business. So that is my question. Thank you very much. How are you about it?
Yasin saab, go ahead.
Ji, so I wanted to first address what Numair saab said regarding the margin. So I think my view on that is actually opposite of what you said. I think the margins in Pakistan for the retail brands, generally, those who pay, so we will only stick to people who are paying taxes because those are the genuine businesses, right? I think the margins are in fact lower than what it is internationally. Our margins, yeah, our gross margin, so first price margin, the full price margin needs to be higher. And I think that goes across the board. So it could be because of scale, it could be because of a lot of tariffs and so on and so forth. But I think our taxes need to be higher. And I can guarantee you that if an international brand comes to Pakistan themselves and tries to compete with a local brand, it will be very, very difficult because their expenses are at a different level. And that's why they go ahead with local partners. What Zubair Saab just asked, I just want to clarify. The question was this question that are the authorities making it difficult for the formal sector to operate as opposed to the informal sector? There were, okay. So yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, you're absolutely right. It becomes more and more difficult as the tariffs increase and as the informal sector expands, it becomes more and more difficult for the formal sector to remain profitable. And that is the constant discussions and the proposals that we are giving to the government is to make it a very simple process, to simplify it, to make it easy for everybody to come on board, and to make it cost efficient as well. Otherwise, the informal sector has not shrunk by as much a margin as it should have in the last few years.
I would just like to add to that, actually, just briefly. Then actually, I would actually go further than that. I would say that actually, the within retail and perhaps other businesses, the documented sector is actually made an example of. We are made an example of in terms of we are documented, we are paying taxes. I'll give you an example very recently. Over the last year, the FBR started a movement to integrate retailers with their point of sales and so on, which is a very good idea due to the lack of transparency and these issues. But I think along with that, at the same time, having been integrated and being completely transparent, these retailers are receiving additional harassment in terms of notices and audits and these things year on year, every year, and so on and so forth. And it's in a way a way of saying that the more you give to the treasury, the more we're going to squeeze you. And meanwhile, those who are not so documented will manage from informal and through other means and so on. So I think this is a basic issue within the enforcement of taxes within our country, honestly speaking. Just trying to give my opinion. Thank you.
Nadeem Saab, if I could just add one last point in this, everyone can relate to this. In this COVID crisis, it's talking about the government sending messages to various stakeholders. We are the people who've been paying the taxes to the workers' welfare fund, the social security for God knows 20 years, 25 years, however long we've been in business. When push came to shove and you said, what do your organizations do? We just went to the government. We asked them, listen, we are the people. We are the 10%, 6% of the sector, which is giving you the taxes. Please help us right now. Even in terms of, I'll give you an example. We continuously ask them that, look at the world. They're giving their businesses loans with 100% government guarantees because the banks were refusing to lend to us. We were not even asking for handouts, just facilitation from the government. A message from the government that you guys were the ones who have been contributing to the government, and now we'll come and support you. And I feel we were just left high and dry, and we discussed on multiple forums with the government that even in terms of delaying taxes, how about deferring taxes, giving us some breathing room? The people who are not on the paying taxes do not have to give anything to the government. But we just faced a wall, and we talk about a 9 trillion retail economy, and it doesn't have a voice. It doesn't have industry status. So what Numair Saab and what Zubair Saab have been saying is very similar. Our margins are extremely low compared to the people who are not coming into the taxes. And the message from the government is that you can get away with it. And these guys, we'll have a stick in our hand and we'll go and hit it on their head every single day. And we'll take all the rent seeking from these guys alone. So yes, I feel they were both right. These are challenges for us. And let's hope that our associations can actually now try to make them understand how we contribute.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you go. It's wonderful. I think now we'll call it a close because we've already been at it for 2 hours. I think the best way to summarize it is again that this is about the 20th webinar that we are doing, and on every occasion we end up at the same point. Unintelligent, unthought out policy, bad regulation, again, unintelligent, unthought out. We've been saying that for decades. We even advised the Ministry of Commerce to look into it. We even advised the FPR to look into it. Unfortunately, there is no room for thought in this country. There's no room for research in this country. And yes, all they succeed in doing is dividing our people, dividing the market, the documented, the undocumented. One makes an association, another does this. So we become a nation of lobbies. We become a nation of mistrust because lobbies are accessing officials and officials are not making policy on the basis of data and research, but making it on the basis of lobbies to favor this lobby or that lobby. That's where fragmentation begins. We're going to end up a very fragmented, unproductive country. Every time I see I talk to you people, I get more dispirited, but we'll write it up. We'll try and present it again. We'll try and do more of this. I wish one day the government would wake up and probably start engaging and start listening and start making policy. But then they have the donors to go to. They do their policy through donors. So what can we do? Donors tell them to do this documentation, undocumentation nonsense, which I don't know. I have not seen this in any country except Pakistan. No other country runs after documentation the way we do. No other country runs after split taxation the way we do. Thank you, folks. Thank you very much for making us understand the retail sector. We are richer for it. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. All the best. Thank you.
You very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Khudafiz, all of you. Khudafiz.